Good morning, everyone. We're live. We're out on the internet. This morning's scripture is found in Luke chapter 23, if you would like to turn there with your Bibles. Starting in the 32nd verse, but it's Luke chapter 23. And as you're turning to that scripture, the title of the sermon this morning is The Human Condition. It's verse 32, chapter 23. Starting in verse 32, and we're going all the way to 43. It's a little long this morning, but I have to put you into the situation where you can see what's happening, this human condition. So if everybody's there, I'm going to start reading very slowly. This is Luke. For you people out on the internet, this is where we're at. We're in the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, verse 32. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. This is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And when they came to the place called the Skull, they were there, they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. But Jesus was saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription above him, and it read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and rebuking him said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he, Jesus, said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Father, I pray that you would weld those words into our hearts, that we will understand, try to understand what the cost was to save us. And I titled this sermon, "The Human Condition," because truly that is what we are. We're in that condition. We are just dying slowly every day. Now here we have three men dying. One, the Son of God, but still he was home, fully human. And we had two human beings on either side of him. He was innocent. Even the one criminal knew he was innocent. The religious leaders that were mocking him knew he was innocent. The Roman guards, they didn't care at all. Not one little pinch, because they were doing their job. Their job was to crucify and kill a human being that was an enemy of their state. And then you had the people who followed Jesus, who were a ways back, watching. So what is going on in this death? This is a death. Can you imagine that? You're on a cross as one of the criminals, your arms stretch out, nailed to the cross, fighting to breathe, and you're having a conversation amongst yourselves. I find that amazing. A lot of times, and I'm not going to put anything out there for anyone else, But you go through and you're reading the scriptures, you're reading the gospels, and you're reading, and sometimes you read right past something that is so profound, and you kind of miss it. I don't know if you people out on the internet do that, and if you're reading your scriptures. I stumbled across this one day. I'm reading through here, I'm reading the crucifixion, and you know, we read it, and we know what happens at the end. Jesus is raised from the dead, and you're rushing to get to that point, right? That's what you do. You rush to get to the good part, the part that brings joy. Jesus is risen from the dead. And you skim right past this. There's a conversation going on here. That is our human condition. I want you to think about this. In our culture today, in our world today, all these groups are there. You have the unrepentant thief. You have the repentant thief. Jesus is no longer on the cross. He's never coming back to do that again. When he comes again, he's coming in glory. He's coming to make everything right. He's going to make everything right. He's going to make everything right, people out there on the internet. Then you have the religious leaders who thought they had everything covered. Oh, we have the words of God. We have the Old Testament. We have the rules. We're following them. We're making sure all the rabble that we've got to take care of following them. And they stand there before Christ being crucified and mock him. That conversation is going on. You know, ideas have consequences. Think about it. Ideas have consequences. Somebody came up with the idea for a device that's easily put in your pocket. You know what I mean? So we can communicate with everybody. This was an idea. And they built it and they put it together. And now we carry this thing with us all the time. Who here doesn't go without their cell phone? Everybody have a cell phone? Oh, Justin, you don't carry it all the time. Oh. Can we live without this thing? Pretty soon I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna give me a little time, about a year from now. I'm gonna give that a try. I'm gonna lay this thing down. I ain't picking it back up. But ideas have consequences. Think of the greatest idea that was ever put forth on this planet. That God would come and die for his creation. Us. And in our culture today, there's so many people that just absolutely don't want to believe it. You can take all the evidence of that crucifixion. Even outside the Bible, there is works from the historians, from the Roman government that said it occurred. And you have people saying, nope, ain't going to believe it. I put them on the side of the unrepentant thief. There they are. Jesus, do something for me if you're the Christ. Oh, I guess you're not. You're not doing what I want. Walk away. Ideas have consequences. When that idea comes into your head, and I'm not talking to the congregation here, I'm talking out to the internet, that Christ never existed, that idea has consequences, eternal consequences. It also has eternal consequences for us. We've taken that into ourselves. We're Christians. And they call us a Christian religion. I don't like the word religion. You have the Muslim religion, okay? There's Allah, moon god, all right? There is Taoism. It's a religion. We're not a religion. All you people out there on the internet, we are not a religion. It's not the Christian religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. And those two thieves crucified on either side of him, one of them, for the briefest moment, had a relationship, kind of. He had a conversation with the Son of God and rejected him. The other criminal, he still has a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because he put his faith in Christ. Two men dying with the Savior in between them. And that is the human condition. One accepts, one rejects. That's what's going on in our world. There is only two types of people in the world. I love the, well, actually, I don't love it, but I love to listen to the liberal, progressive liberals, and they try and pigeonhole everybody in a box, in a hole. We're going to label everybody, okay? Dave Webster, white, male, bad, right? Okay. They put the colored people over here, and they put the Hispanics over here, and they put the Hondurans over here, and just anything to get divide us, put us all in these little pigeonholes. There's only two divisions, people. There's only two divisions out there on the internet. Two, saved and unsaved. Amen. That's it. God's not a respecter of what culture you are. It doesn't matter to Him. You are His creation. You're a human being. It doesn't matter the shape of our heads, the shape of our eyes, the length of our hair, the color of our skin, even our gender does not matter to Him. You're either saved or unsaved. Ideas have consequences. And if you can incorporate that idea into your mind and into your spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit, all that other frivolous stuff drops away. And you start looking at people for what they're truly worth, saved or unsaved. Do they know Jesus Christ is their Savior? Are they saved? The idea of salvation is repugnant to certain people in our culture. Now, let's get away from religions and that sort of thing. Let's move further over to the spectrum to the atheists. They say there is no spiritual realm, there is no God, there's certainly no Jesus Christ. And they think that we who worship Jesus, who adhere to Jesus Christ, okay, the human condition, for us is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that we might be saved. But those people think that we're crazy, that we have a mental illness. Can you imagine that? We have a mental illness only because we take the scripture at face value and we believe it. And we try to live by it. And we worship a God who cared and loved us so much that He sent His only Son for us. We believe that. They don't. In fact, they are so dead set in their unbelief that even if you could prove it to them, they wouldn't believe it. The thing that just amazes me as I jump around on my sermon. I just looked this up, and I'm not one to give a lot of statistics in sermons, but here's something you ought to know because it's frightening. I want you to think about it. It's frightening. Excuse me. There are supposedly, and this is, it's not exact, but it's probably pretty close, that 1.6% of Americans identify themselves as atheists. 1.6%, okay? Keep that number in your mind. It comes out to 4,856,000 atheists in America, okay? 1.6% out of 303.5 million people. Now, can someone explain to me how 1.6% of the population is driving an agenda that they want to get rid of us? Some of them even want to kill us. They're trying to get laws on the books that you cannot teach your children Christianity because it's such a fable. It's such a lie. It doesn't belong in our culture of scientific knowledge, right? It's amazing how every 5 or 6 years, the scientists have to redo some of their ideas because they learned something new. But at any one moment, they put on their lab coats and they got their little pens in the pocket and they walk around and they go, "I am so intelligent. There's no such thing as God. There can't be a God. I can't find him. I've looked in my test tubes. Okay. I've looked in the microscope. I've looked in the telescope. We've looked everywhere. We can't find him. He doesn't exist because I can't hook him up and test to see where he is. Such foolishness. Such foolishness. To them, there is no spiritual realm. There is only the physical. That's it. There's no hope because they say once you're dead, you're dead. There's no afterlife. There's no heaven. There's no hell. They're not even worried about it, which is for another sermon sometime, is why they're not worried about it. They're not worried about it. All they can do is wiggle along in the mud here on earth, wiggle along to see how far they can get until they die. And then it's over for them. But for us, it's not. I want you to think about the human condition, how, because of Jesus Christ, and what has happened in this world through the centuries because of his influence in people who believe that he actually existed and died for us. Christians started colleges, educated women, started hospitals, started the healthcare system. Atheists don't do any of that. They could care less. Remember, an atheist believes in Darwinian evolution, okay? And you're just that funny little animal. That's all. You're just another animal. You're like a puppy or a kitty cat or a worm or an eagle. Doesn't mean anything to them. So when a human being passes away, it's just another animal. Because they firmly entrench in their minds that survival is for the strong, for the fittest. They could care less about a child with autism or a child that needs help or any human being that needs help. They leave that all behind. They cry mercy. Oh, we want to help everybody. We want to help you. Not really. They want to help themselves and use you as a stepping stone to get where they want to be. But the love of God is not in that heart. And only God can change an atheist. That's the human condition. We're right back to the cross, where you have a thief on one side saying, Lord, remember me, and the other thief going, I don't believe. I point to you in the congregation, and I believe I know where your hearts are. You're a repentant thief. But I point out to the internet, to you that are out in the world looking at this sermon, which one are you? Are you the repentant thief that looks at Christ and says, Amen. Oh, it's wonderful. I want to grab onto that because I know how dire my condition is, my human condition. You know, when you're young and you're strong, you think you can go forever. I mean, you just work and work and do all kinds of stuff and have fun. And then the older you get, as the years start to pile up, and there's less on this side for the future than there is on that side, you start feeling your humanity. Things start to ache and hurt. If you drop a brick on your toe, it lasts a lot longer than it used to. It's funny how you don't heal. I have the young people in our congregation who are laughing at me. The day will come. I used to laugh too. My father would say, one day you're going to have aches and pains. Yeah, right. That's a million years from now. The human condition. Oh, if my dad was still here with me, I would say, yep, you were right. This hurts. That hurts. I roll out of bed. I sound like Rice Krispies in the morning. Snap, crackle, pop. If anybody remembers Rice Krispies, you put the milk on, a snap, crackling, pop. That's my spine trying to get out of bed. We're in the human condition. And I put forth to you, next week we're going out on our prayer walk. Do you really believe what the Scripture tells us? Do you truly believe it? Do you want to go out there and talk to people and say, I'd like to pray for you, and get that door to open a little bit? And maybe, just maybe, tell them about a Savior that loves them. We don't go out to get people to come into our church. That would be so nice. That would be very enjoyable. We go out to pray for people that are hurting in this world. People are hurting so bad. You look at our culture, you look around the world, Christians are persecuted. People are being persecuted without being Christians. They're getting beat up. And we go out to try and pray with them. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? We can have an impact on this world because we have Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, He dwells inside of us. And each time we go out and work in that field of the human condition, we, by the power that resides in us, can make a difference in someone's life. You out on the internet, do you truly believe that what you believe is really real? Is the Scriptures more than just words on a page? This book that is the most unique book in the world, there's nothing like it in the history of mankind. Nothing. It was written for you. And you, there's people out in the world who can't even carry this openly because they'll be killed. They'll be confiscated and they'll be put in prison and put to death because they have a Bible. Ideas have consequences. What idea are you fostering in your lives? The consequences go well beyond even your own life. They go into eternity. You know, atheism, unbelief, naturally generates towards socialism. Have you thought about that? Our country is flirting with the idea of going to socialism, where the state is all. There's nothing above the state. Who runs the state, I ask you? Who runs the state? Fallen human beings. Sinful human beings. That is why in the last 200 years, more people have been killed because of socialism. Because they look at Darwin and say, oh yeah, it was a big bang. We're not sure how it got started, but there was this big explosion. The universe burped. And everything came into being. And you're all just a bunch of animals. And if I'm at the top of the food chain, right? If I'm at the top and I'm in charge of the socialistic government, you all work for me. I don't know if I like you, so I think we're going to have to put you to death. You're going to a prison camp. The human condition. And yet Christ came to change that. And there's always those people out there that will not. And we run into them. You run into them on our prayer walks. You run into them. They say, nope, I don't believe, sorry, no soliciting, don't even bother coming here. They don't want to hear about it. The last prayer walk, I ran into a gentleman, a doctor, I won't use his name, but he was abused by the church over the years. And he said, I'm not going to go there. Thank you for doing what you're doing. You guys are doing a great job, but you know, I don't. There's still that spark in him. You know what I mean? Why would he say, hey, you guys are doing a great job. I really appreciate this. This neighborhood needs that, but I don't. There's a spark there. And hopefully, as we went around the neighborhood and did our prayer walk, we breathed on that spark. Just a little bit. You ever have a little campfire, the stick is smoldering, there's an ash in there, you breathe on it, and it flares up.
That's what we want to do. We want to get into that human condition and be a person that can put forth that idea, the idea that God so loved the world. That idea. Because when that idea takes root, it changes somebody. You get changed because, God starts putting His ideas in you. And you get it from here, from the Scriptures. We are all still in the conversation with Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. Daily conversation with Jesus. You out on the internet, daily conversation with Jesus. And how does it occur? It occurs by reading the Scriptures. It occurs by reading the Word of God and praying. Having that communication, that conversation with Jesus every day. Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, where should I go today? Lord, forgive me for what I have done or left undone. That daily conversation, that's why Christianity is a relationship and not a religion. It's a relationship with the Son of God, the Creator of us. So far above us that I can't even imagine how more intelligent He is than I am and we are. He's so far above us, and yet He wants to come down in this muck and mire, in the sin-filled world, and He wants a relationship with you and you and you and you out there in the internet. I'm telling you, Jesus wants that relationship. He died for it so that it could occur. Our next scripture for today is John chapter 14, verse 6. Oop, too far. Chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus is speaking here, and we all know this verse, but I wanted to bring it to your mention again, because through this verse, through what Christ has told us in His Scripture, it blows out of the water everything else. All those other religions, Islam, Mohammedanism, Taoism, every ism you can think of, it's the same as being an atheist. You don't believe. Jesus says here in verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Wipes out everything else. It's like having a big chalkboard behind me, okay? You got Christianity on one side, the relationship, and everything else that man has come up with. Every other idea, you might as well just walk over there, take the big eraser, and go, out of here. Gone. Doesn't mean a thing. Sorry, done, gone. Do you truly believe that what you believe is real? Jesus said, I am. I may be preaching to this congregation and they believe it here, but I'm also preaching out in the internet. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one. Not a maybe, not an if, not anything. This is the human condition. There is one way. One way. And that is it. Our final scripture is in Acts chapter 4. And it's verse 12. These are all nice and short here at the end. I read you a nice long scripture in the gospel, and now we go to short ones that have profound, profound implications in this world. Profound. To us, to all you people on the internet, they are profound. You can't get away from them. You can say, well, I don't want to believe and walk away. That's your choice. But choices have consequences. Don't ever forget that. Choices have consequences. And these choices have eternal consequences.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, we read, and this is Peter. Peter, in his first sermon to the new church that had just been filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter says to the crowds, he says, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." There's only one name, Jesus the Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to use the last remaining minutes because I want to give a message out to the internet world. Okay, the people that look at us, we put ourselves out there, these sermons out there, because we want to touch lives. That's what this whole church is about. The Heart of Christ Church here in Lebanon, PA. We love God, love others, and go. And I'm putting it out there on the internet that if you have a prayer request, if something is going on in your life that you need prayer, if God has touched you with this sermon and you're now questioning, could this be true, not true? Send us an email. Send us a message. Let us know that you cared for the sermon. You have a prayer request you would like to be prayed for. We will put you on our prayer list. We have a prayer team that prays regularly. We have a list. If we have preached something that you find offensive, send us an email. You can chew my butt out if you want. But let's have that dialogue. Let's have that communication. This is the human condition where we talk back and forth. Okay? I want to talk to you. I know Pastor Rich, our senior pastor. I'm just the associate, which is, I shouldn't say just the associate. I am the associate. I help him. Amen? Okay? We have two ministers. We have three ministers here. Okay? We want to be involved in your life. We're involved in the lives of our congregation, and we're a tiny little church, but we got a strong spirit. We love the Lord Jesus. We want to make a difference in your life. So that's what I say. If you like the sermon, let us know. If you have something, a prayer request, let us know. If you don't communicate with us, how can we pray for you? For your specific needs. That's why we go out and what we call our prayer walks. We go out into the neighborhoods around this church and we talk to people and ask them, what do you need prayer for? What's going on in your life? I want to know what's going on in your life out there in internet land. I know what's going on in the lives of these people. We can be a mess sometimes. Amen? We can be a mess sometimes. But as the world knocks us down, we get right back up because the Holy Spirit lifts us back up and we start moving forward again. And we want to move forward in your lives. So would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the possibility of a relationship in this human condition. I ask, where are you? Are you the repentant thief or the obstinate thief? Where do you stand? Jesus has loved you unto life. Today, ask. Ask the Lord Jesus, how might I serve you? Where do you need me? And in all things, I thank you the spiritual strength that you've imparted into this congregation that is now going out into the world through the internet. Ideas do have consequences. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.